So this meeting is supported by EPSRC, the Engineering Physical Science Research Council, as part of its Pathways to Impact program, which is not to do research, but which is to disseminate the results of research in a number of ways. Now, we got an award last year for this, and as part of the funding, we ran a symposium. So that was a hackfest for 2 days, and then a symposium, and the result of that was that it got wide coverage, and we had 15 papers in the open access Journal of Chem Informatics, and there is one typical paper there. As you can see, this has got 20 different groups collaborating. We had, as I say, 15 papers, and many of these have been highly accessed. Unfortunately, the editor, Christoph Steinbeck, can't be here today. He sends his regrets, but Christoph was very proactive in doing that. Can I welcome Jan Kurosz? Where's Jan? Right, who is representing Biomed Central here. I shall be saying a little bit about publishing, because it is critically important to what we're talking about today. I want to give thanks, first of all, to EPSRC and particularly to JISC for having funded much of the work in our group over the last 10 years. I've been incredibly fortunate to have had 10 years at Cambridge to develop ideas of semantics, and that's about the time it takes to do this. And we're now getting to a stage where technically we have solved the problems in many areas. So we've got code that does things, we've got protocols. And the reality is that semantic science is going to depend on political and social change. That is the thing holding it back at the moment. I'm sure you'll all have heard of the semantic web. The semantic web depends on people working together. And in academia, we're actually extremely conservative in the way we run our organizations, and we haven't yet embraced 21st century ways of working. And until that happens, we have to push very hard to get semantics in the place where it really deserves. So I also want to very much thank my group. I've had wonderful people with me over the last 10 years, and I'm very proud that they've actually all gone off into high-tech industries in the UK and contributing, we hope, to the future wealth of this nation. So academia doesn't just produce papers. We have been looking at providing the technologies of the future. I also want to thank the extended community which I've worked with and which I will continue to work with. So the Blue Obelisk is a zero cash organization. It works with a mantra. This is a Blue Obelisk. Its mantra is open data, open standards, open source. And its only ritual is that once or twice a year when we meet, we have dinner. And very occasionally, people get given Blue Obelisks. That's it. And as a result of that, we've actually got 20 groups collaborating together on interoperable code. And that's a very much a 21st century way of doing things. The other project I want to mention is one which is more recent. It's called Quixote. And that's a picture of Don Quixote. I'm sometimes likened to that, going off and on my donkey and tilting at windmills. But occasionally, we actually manage something. So where is Jorge? Jorge is from Zaragoza, the home of the Cervantes tradition and so on. And in honor of that, we have named our computational chemistry program, our project Quixote. And this again is built on the same open source collaborative ideas. So the aims of this are to take what we've done over the last 12 years and hand it over to the community. Now, we did this last year with our work on text mining and natural language processing. And at a meeting in December on biological text mining, where's Goran? Goran ran a meeting. Goran is from Manchester, but also editor of a BMC journal. And effectively, I handed over to the community at large the work that we'd been doing, because it's necessary that these things have an ongoing path. And I have every confidence that the bioscience community will take Oscar, Opsin and Chemical Tagger and develop them and make them useful. So we want to do the same in physical science. Physical science is behind bioscience, probably about 7 or 8 years in terms of its use of semantics and the information world. It's actually technically easier, but for various reasons, it's politically much more difficult. And we'll hear some of that today. So you cannot avoid the fact that we have to change the way people work and think. What? Yeah, that's in the Panton. That's where the work gets done. Those of you who haven't been to the Panton Arms need to go there. It's about 300 metres down the road. And that's a serious point, because we actually have formulated, Cameron Nell's going to be talking later, but we have formulated there the Panton principles for open data in science. And that is a critical part of what we are doing here. And we cannot have semantic science without open access to scientific data. So here I'm going to just show some pictures. One picture, Panton Arms. And seriously, a lot of good work gets done in environments like that. But this is a seminal event. This is the release of the Panton Principles. And the Panton Principles state that you should make scientific data open, you should make it clear why you're doing this, and you should attach the appropriate license to it. And I'm delighted that Biomed Central have adopted that, and they've been very actively pushing the Panton Principles, labeling their journals with that. So I'm going to finish on a slightly uncomfortable note. Because over the last 2 days, 2 or 3 days, there has been a very strong lobby in the US to close down one aspect of scientific publishing. This is a lobby, and it's perfectly expressed by Peter Suber here, but it is called the Research Works Act, HR 3699, and what that is doing is saying that it is going to forbid funding bodies in the US, particularly the NIH, to require people to make their research open. And the motivation for this is very clear. It is to increase the profits of the publishing industry. So there is no scientific basis to this unless you buy the argument that a richer industry gives you better peer-reviewed science, which I do not take that logical argument. And so you have to think about this yourselves, but I would urge people to look and see whether this is something that you should feel that you should protest about. And just to start it going, this is MIT. MIT have today said that they formally oppose the, although they're a member of the American Association of Publishers who have put this forward, they oppose it, and they've withdrawn from supporting this legislation. And the other happy characters here are Gulliver Turtle from Biomed Central. One of the things we've started to do is make videos of things. We're videoing this. But also, I'm afraid the animals have got very excited, and they've made their own video. So you can find a little video of Gulliver at the Panton Arms. This is an open access penguin. And this is Jumbo, who was given to me by Gemma Holliday, who was the seminal person in coming up with the spec for CML React about 6 years ago. And let's go back to the program. What we've done here is we have, because of the EPSERT funding, we've been able to invite people from Melbourne, from PNNL, it's down here somewhere or other, from Kitware in New York State, and that's been a tremendous opportunity to bring together the most active groups in semantic physical science.